It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
And you have a great face, don't worry.
Consequence Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button if you like what you see, what you hear. You subscribe, I will give you 3 brand new interviews every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. All the usual places, too. You can do it at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. In fact, some of my recent guests have included Gavin Rosdell of Bush, Art Alexakis of Everclear, Johnny Marr, Paul Rogers of Bad Company and Free. I had The Kills on, Boy Named Banjo, Japanese House, Brandon Flowers of The Killers, the producers behind Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV+. Talked with Chris Shiflett from The Foo Fighters, Liz Phair, Sarah Silverman, Duff McKagan of Guns N' Roses, Felicia Day, Susan Tedeschi, Josh Radner from How I Met Your Mother, Kristen Hirsch of Throwing Muses, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. Again, that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's a very special episode. Rufus Wainwright joining me once again. But this interview, we actually taped live in front of an audience right here in Louisville, Kentucky, at the speakeasy bar Heller High Water. Rufus, the very next day, performed with the Louisville Orchestra. And that's sort of what brought all this together. It's the 20th anniversary of his third and fourth album, Want, Parts 1 and 2. You might also just look at that as a double album of his third record. But it was a record that sort of came orchestrated. And in this anniversary cycle, he's teamed up with some great orchestras, the Louisville Orchestra being one of them. So we get to kind of jump into it, learn about what was it that lent this particular album to the orchestral arrangement, why the album was always meant to, as he says, be played that way. As we look back on his that period in his career as an artist with 3 successful albums in a row at that point, he'll also dig into the operas that he's written. And in fact, he tells us about his history, having been a fan of opera since his teen years. He'll also consider why so many artists continue to make the same songs over and over, all the while also trying to figure out why his daughter likes Taylor Swift's music so much. All that and more as we talk about the 20th anniversary of Want. It's Kyle Meredith with Rufus Wainwright.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Again, it's not just that you're playing with the Louisville Orchestra and doing these orchestrated versions of Want, but it's also the 20th anniversary.
Yes, yeah. Recently, it's been the 20th anniversary of everything in my life of late. Want 1 and Want 2 are the latest in that category. So So, and I'm still celebrating it. I don't, you know, I don't think there'll be that much more to celebrate in those until, you know, my, you know, wedding anniversary or something. But those were such big records, and they really did a lot for me, especially in Europe. And so, yeah, and then it's great to be, you know, doing them again.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because, you know, thinking back, how much those records have meant to people. And it happens with a lot of artists.
Yes.
Like, you know, we a lot of artists are held to those early records because for whatever the naivety, it brings some kind of magic.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you think of even yourself, like, you know, how much you knew and you didn't know, but I mean,
yeah.
Basic question, like when you think back to that, what do those albums mean to you now? What do they represent?
Well, what I'm most proud of in terms of that whole period is that I did kind of the 1-2-3 punch, which is not common in the sense that, you know, my first album came out, Rufus Wainwright, and like many first albums of note, it was good, but for the reason, mainly for the reason though that I had, you know, 17 years to kind of write songs in my teenagehood and, you know, growing up. Just growing up in general, and so it was imbued with just that sort of burst of becoming an adult or coming out of childhood. So that happened, and then the second album, any recording artist can attest to this is kind of the most important album because that's sort of like the bellwether. You know, it can go either way, and. And oftentimes that's when the, you know, it's over. So I made Poses and it's really accepted as sort of a kind of a departure from my first, and sort of it really pointed towards a more kind of mysterious, kind of decadent journey than like this kind of bright-eyed opera-loving dandy from Canada. So it got more darker and stuff, and that worked really well. And then the third one, which I think people are given sort of slack for their third record often. Yeah, you're like, okay, maybe the third one won't be quite as good, but if your third one's really great, which want for me was the Want Records, and there's only, it's the third and the fourth. Of course, I had to, you know, rub it in. And it was just suddenly became this whole other three-dimensional thing in the sense, like, I had the boyhood, and then I had the sort of decadent, you know, and being kind of a roué or whatever. Boulevardier kind of person. And then the third one was about me actually becoming a man and becoming, you know, kind of conquering a lot of fundamental demons and dealing with these kind of big issues. So I think it really kind of cemented my early career as this, as really showing me as someone who, you know, was around for a while, will be around for a while. Yeah. And I'm still here.
You should applaud for that. It's not the easiest thing to stick around for as a musician.
No. I mean, I live in L.A., and it is, I have to say that definitely of late. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of work in the classical world over the years. I've written a couple of operas, and I'm actually composing a Requiem at the moment, which was premiering in Paris with the L'Orchestre Radio France, and will also be with the L.A. Master Chorale. So I'm very involved in that world, but I still live in LA. I still live in, you know, the belly of the beast, and I'm prone to definitely fall into that whole cycle and try to, you know, chase that carrot and stuff. And it's horrifying, the music business, especially now, because it's just become so kind of vapid and predictable and the songs themselves are really kind of at the bottom of the equation. So yeah, but I'm still there. we'll see. But it's been wonderful. All I'm saying is it's been wonderful to be at. I feel so fortunate that I'm able to go sing with orchestras and both do my own, you know, pop material and do new pieces that I compose. I feel very fortunate that I've been able to escape the music business occasionally.
And we'll be right back right after this. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I live in Kentucky, in the Midwest, and allergies, yeah, I suffer. When I say I suffer from allergies, I suffer from allergies. And around here, everyone I know deals with allergies to some degree. And for a long time, I thought it was just something that I would have to live with, which is a real problem for anything, but especially when you're a radio host. It affects my voice, it affects my mood, it affects everything. And I feel like I've tried all the medicines. Some of them work better than others, but there's never a perfect one out there, especially because some of them take forever to actually work and some of them don't work at all. And then there's Astapro, the fastest solution to nasal allergy symptoms. It's what I use now, and it's definitely changed my life. Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. With all the pollen in the air, with all the dust around the corners of the house, even with the allergies I have from my dog, Astapro has been the nasal spray that has helped me with all of my allergies. And it can help you too. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. That's Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Rufus Wainwright.
It's one of the most fascinating things about looking at your career, too, because the operas, Requiem, Folkocracy,
yes,
which is your latest record.
Yeah.
I mean, do you look at yourself as an explorer of genre, or is this just like the ultimate flex?
I just love a great melody, you know, I also like to constantly challenge myself and feel that it's important as an artist in general to do that. I mean, I won't name any names, but we all know that there are a whole bunch of really incredible artists who kind of just sort of pull out the same thing over and over again still, and that's great, and I'm really jealous, and they make so much money off of it, and it's all so it's fine. So I, not having been able to kind of crack that code, that kind of mediocre code, I've chosen to challenge myself and, you know, torture me.
And we benefit, so
yes,
thanks for
benefit
the torture
from my sacrifice.
So you're going to be playing these with the Louisville Orchestra.
Yes.
And I know you've done some orchestrations before.
Yes.
Is there something about this record? I mean, sure, it's the anniversary, but is there something about this album that kind of lends itself to that?
No, definitely. I mean, there's an argument that the show that I'm doing now is really how this album should be performed. Because it's, even though Marius de Vries, who is a great producer who I worked with on the original album, and with great musicians, including Matt Johnson, who will be playing with us on drums tomorrow, Spooky Ghost, all these kinds of people. It was the first time, after working with two incredibly talented producers who were kind of awful people, who've always made me feel bad, but they were great producers. That's John Bryan and Pierre Marchand. And But they always made me feel really bad about me wanting to kind of be this sort of very, how should I say it, very Baroque, kind of grand, kind of musically big person. And then finally, with Marius de Vries, he thought it was so fantastic, and he would just sit there and like lay it on me, you know. And to be fair to the two awful guys before him, it was good for me to have a lot of that strife, you know, to go through a lot of those battles. And they were probably right in certain cases, you know, in terms of editing my flamboyance occasionally. But by the time I got to Marius, he was so excited to just, partake in this, you know, vision that I had, which was essentially orchestral, with the songs and how I wanted them presented. So it's amazing to do it with an orchestra finally.
Yes, it does. It, I mean, does, you know, some artists, Bob Dylan, you'll write 60 versions of one song. I mean, right. does it allow you to kind of go back and reimagine some of these, or is it just to build it? Like, what is it? What is the vision?
Well, the vision, maybe the vision with both albums, that the first is sort of a male version of myself, and the second album is a female version, in the sense that it's the light and the dark. You know, before I went into the studio to record these albums, but before then I'd had a real battle with drugs and alcohol. I went to rehab and stuff, and I wrote a lot of the songs, you know, during that before and during that whole debacle. But then once I got into the studio, I was pretty clear and was able to sort of just, you know, focus fully on the music. And so the first album, Want One, I think, is more the sort of valiant knight who is, you know, trying to defeat the dragon and so forth. And so it's very bright and positive. The second one is sort of, on the cover, I'm dressed as the Lady of Shalott. So I'm a little, it's more this sort of remaining mystery and sort of untamed spirit that is with, you know, everyone, even though they think it isn't.
And we'll be right back right after this. Hey, welcome to Kyle Meredith with Consequence, where we check out some cool new things happening on the Consequence Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today I get to talk to Ann Erickson, host of our new Consequence podcast, Beyond the Boys Club.
Hey, Kyle.
And congratulations on Beyond the Boys Club. Well, what can you tell us about it?
4 years ago, I started a column published on Consequence called Beyond the Boys Club. The goal was to spotlight the women making a name for themselves in rock and metal. All these artists share their passion for music and their stories of breaking barriers as women in the music industry. This fall, we're taking the conversation further in the Beyond the Boys Club podcast. The interview series will welcome amazing female and non-binary artists from across the genre spectrum to share their stories and triumphs as they follow the beat of their own drum and shake up the scene.
That sounds awesome. I can't wait to check it out. And we should all check it out, because Beyond the Boys Club arrives twice monthly on Tuesdays, wherever you get your podcasts. Great talking with you, Anne.
Thanks, Kyle.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Rufus Wainwright.
Like, I'm reading about, do I say Hadrian?
Yes, Hadrian, yes.
And that's the next opera.
That's finished, yeah. Hadrian is composed.
But hearing it, like, even about, like, the storylines that, you know, coming off of reading about that, and, like, yeah. Like, where did that one come? Because you get to kind of lean into the stuff you're talking about, it sounds like a little bit more, too.
Just in terms of
this, like, historical.
Yeah, well, I've always been, look, I became a huge opera fan when I was about 13. And I have a 13-year-old daughter now, and I, she's amazing. Her name is Viva. She's incredible. She's a wonderful person, and I couldn't be happier. I am struck, though, by how weird I was at that age. Like, I was listening to Verdi's Requiem and, you know, Wagner and stuff. So I was a very unusual child, and sometimes I have to sort of check myself and realize that I, you know, can't expect her to be doing that as well. Though she's not averse to it. She is interested in it. She's like, I like listening to it. I hate going to the opera. But it's so it's so yeah. So I developed this intense passion for opera, which has remained over the years. And thankfully, I was able to put it into my songwriting in a kind of way that really set me apart at the time from other, you know, up and coming artists.
Like I heard the version of He Loved, and just knowing,
yes,
like it's so incredible. And I do mean this. It's so incredible how you can take something meant for one thing, like an opera.
Yes.
Like, oh, now we can make it a folk
song.
Or now
no,
we can
I do transfer, you know, some of the... Look, I just want it to be effective and moving. I think moving is the main thing. I mean, it's very interesting. My daughter, she's really into Taylor Swift right now. So I've really been going through the education of that. And, you know, it's fascinating because it isn't... you know, look, I want to remain open-minded, and I actually think it's very impressive what she does, and there's a lot of stuff that I could never even dream of accomplishing. But on the way to school, it's like a constant thing, and there's songs, certain songs I like better than others. But then when I drive back home after dropping Viva at school, I put on the Met Opera channel, and. And the other day I did that, and they were playing Pagliacci, which is, you know, kind of, you know, it's a great opera, but it's one of the more sort of, you know, it's a little bit schmaltzy. It's sort of, it's super kind of lowbrow in a way, but the music's great. But then when they do that aria, Vesti la Giubba, I was like in tears, you know, in the car. And it is, you know, I like stuff that makes you cry and moan and you know, shake, and
some Taylor fans would say the same thing.
Yeah.
Right,
I guess so. Sure. I guess so. It hasn't happened for me yet with Taylor, but I'm not saying it won't. I'm open to it.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I certainly appreciate what you do.
Oh, thank you.
And we love your music so much.
Thank you.
And I know I share that sentiment with everybody in the room here. Rufus Wainwright, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And my thanks to Rufus Wainwright. He has a new record out, which we didn't get to talk much about there, but it's called Folkocracy. I definitely recommend checking that out. And, of course, the 20th anniversary of Wundt. So thanks to Rufus. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. That way you can get all the interviews that we put out. 3 brand new ones every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual places, including Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Again, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows featured the music of Ann Peebles, Wilson Pickett, Stevie Wonder, The Pixies, Vampire Weekend, Juliana Hatfield, Dave Matthews Band, Fleetwood Mac, Tom Waits, Lucinda Williams, Simon and Garfunkel, Blur, The Black Keys, Boy Genius, Ani DiFranco, The Cure, Sex Pistols, Johnny Marr, and my interview with The Breeders. Again, just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media sites. In fact, the address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.